I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Have you with us on this first opportunity to get together and say we hope you had a fantastic Christmas visit with your family and your friends, and maybe you got some new outdoor toys to play with for Christmas under the tree this year. Nice to have you with us, and going to be cold the next couple of nights along the Wasatch Front, down into the teens after having a couple of days of snow.
Wow.
We'll talk more about that on Snow Day coming up.
Kind of like winter, huh?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the way it's supposed to be this time of year. We get used to the sort of strange warmer weather,
yeah,
and then
it's nice.
You know, catch yourself surprised when it snows in the middle or tail end of December. I'm Tim Hughes. Here with me this morning is Russell the Muscle from Sky Call.
Good morning. Yep. I haven't heard the muscle thing in a while.
Good morning.
It really doesn't apply, but thank you.
It's just the two of us.
Yeah, it is.
Today.
Quiet voice. It's nice to finally get somewhere where I can take a nap, you know? Not really.
Well,
not
try
really.
Not to do that over the next couple of hours.
No.
Otherwise, I'm flying solo here.
Just for both of us, I think, pretty wild week. Throw Christmas in the middle of it.
You know, we had the usual stress of the holidays, but then some of the emotion of it with an illness in our family and you know, final stages of life that make it kind of difficult to get through simple things, or what should be simple things like pictures at Christmas time. You pile the emotion of that on top of the holiday, and it makes it tough. But, you know, when all is said and done, being able to get together one more time, if that's all it is for Christmas, is a gift in and of itself.
It is.
Anyway, you snuck away for a couple of days because, you, speaking of family, you were accompanying Ranger Stan back from Montana.
Well, you know, this is a father-daughter thing. I think any father would do the same thing. It's just she puts in a hard week. Ranger Stan now got a huge promotion. I think I sent you a note on that.
Oh, yeah, but you didn't fill me in on the details.
Well, we'll talk later.
Okay.
But she'd been putting in 7 days a week for quite a while.
Yeah.
Just working through things. And, you know, in the past, I would go up and meet her. Okay, let's back up. She works in Belgrade, Montana. That's where she works.
Under the canvas or under canvas?
Under canvas.
Yeah.
And for her to come home, she goes through West Yellowstone. So from Belgrade to West Yellowstone, down through Rexburgen on the 15.
Yeah.
I've tried to get her to go on the interstate all the way home, but she refuses. She's got friends in West Yellowstone.
Oh,
you could write a song about that. So a while back, the snow was so horrible, and she was coming home, and I just told her, I said, you know, I'll meet you in Rexburg. I'll hop the bus and go to Rexburg and hang out at the McDonald's till you get there. And I did. It was like a 3-hour wait in McDonald's. That's a whole story in itself. You know, talk about people watching.
So you sampled a little bit of everything on the menu while you waited.
but anyway, she really didn't want me to do that. But after I did it, she was glad I did because it was a horrible drive home. But anyway, this time she requested Dad to come up and say, would you come all the way to West Yellowstone? I said, okay. So I got up there about an hour before she did, had a nice chicken fried steak in the restaurant, and
did you go to
Three Bear?
Three Bear,
of course,
I saw your pictures in the lobby at Three Bear Lodge.
And then I went over and hung out in the lobby, and she got there, and she said hi to all her old friends, and then the manager at Three Bear.
I wouldn't be able to help you with that.
Oh, shoot.
If you said the owner of Three Bear, I'd help you out with Clyde Seeley.
But anyway, we visited with the manager.
That
I'm
person,
sorry.
Yes.
Quite a bit, and kind of the preamble to setting up some some trips up there with us.
Are they riding snowmobiles on the streets up there yet? I mean, are the streets snow covered out front of Three Bear yet?
That's a good question. I don't.
Were there?
Well, I was in a bus, and then Ranger Stan drove the rest of the way home. But no, they're not. They're not, because there is ice up against the curbs, but they've plowed them clean.
Okay.
So they haven't had enough consistent snow, but they've got a lot of snow. They got plenty of snow to snowmobile. Yeah. And the
snowmobiling in the park is up and running.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And the buses into the park, you know, they've got the big tire stuff. And the fire they had in that shop really didn't bother them so much. They had plenty of equipment without the equipment they lost. So.
Yeah. I was happy to get looking forward to just getting a little bit of a report about, you know, how much snow they might have up there. We're going to talk about snowmobiling today with Bob Grove, old road trip.
Right, yeah.
Bob is going to check in with us. He wanted to touch on several places. Beaver Creek Lodge in Logan Canyon is one that's got a 12-room lodge up there. He says it's located just a short distance from Beaver Mountain Ski Resort. He's tried to twist our arm to get up there before.
We've never been there, have
no?
we?
And that's one that would be doable on a weekend.
Yeah.
Duck Creek Village in southern Utah, about 30 miles east of Cedar City.
I've been by there.
Skyline Trail in San Pete County out of Fairview is another one.
To snowmobile on.
Yeah. And then there was another one, I think, Teton Valley, Idaho, Teton Springs Resort up there in Victor. So anyway, Bob will join us, and we'll try and sort out and maybe give some people some options about where you go. One of our favorite places, obviously, is up there to West Yellowstone, and to hang out with Clyde and his team, whether you're inside or outside the park, either way is great. So we'll look forward to that. That's one of the things that's happening on today's show. The other one, we're going to check in with Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources. They're revisiting on how they archive the fishing records in Utah, which is kind of a interesting piece
That's
of history. I mean, it's nothing anybody would ever think about. But we did set some records or break some records this year when it comes to fish, and so we're going to sort all of that out as we begin the next hour. And then one more call. Who were we? Chris Dallin.
Oh, good.
Our old buddy. Matter of fact, as we speak, he just sent me four or five pictures that I'll try and get up on our Facebook page of a off-road vehicle ride he took. Looks like it's one of those Razors. Might be a Razor, might be a Can-Am. I can't tell from the distance of the pictures, but we'll find out. And here we are in the midst of snowfall in the northern part of the state, but it's notable, and one of the things we always brag about in Utah is that you can go down south.
That's right.
And still do things four-wheeling off-road down there.
There's a lot of places that rent down there, so you can go down there as is and rent everything and take off on the dunes or wherever you want to go. This is a good time to be on the sand because it's moist. And it's packed hard, and it means you can go that much faster and hurt yourself that much more.
Maybe you can roll that thing four times instead of just one or two.
If you put some big tires on the Prius, you can get out there in that too. You know, so
Braxton, we were just thinking about Braxton and talking to him before we came on the air, and Braxton just bought him a new toy. I don't know if you've seen his pictures, but he was out in the garage petting it. Santa Claus brought it well before Christmas. But,
how many tires on it?
There's four.
Four, okay.
Yeah.
Four-wheeler.
Yeah. And I think he bought the Can-Am, not the Razor.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the Can-Am's got the beefiest motor right now.
Yeah, well, and you know he's probably got it jacked up a little bit. I'd love to have him on to talk about it. Maybe I can twist his arm to do that. And on the heels of all that new snow in the higher country, we also need to pay a visit with the Utah Avalanche Center. Craig Gordon will help us with that on our snow day. I've posted a copy of a video that went viral over the weekend, or over the holiday anyway. I keep thinking that Christmas was a weekend. But somebody got caught in another avalanche. They were able to outrun it. I shouldn't say caught in it. They triggered an avalanche in the same area where somebody died on the 15th of December.
Really?
And they were back testing fate again, this time on skis, and his buddy was standing across the other side of the valley with a camera handy, and you see this guy just outrunning the avalanche all the way down the side of the hill in the Park City area. So We're going to talk about the dangers of being in the backcountry because they are extreme right now. Yeah. And Craig Gordon's been trying to sound that alarm.
There's two extremes of your mental attitude in that situation. Either you're really stupid and you think this is fun, or you understand it and you're scared almost to death.
Yeah, well, you could tell this guy stopped making as many turns.
Straight down.
As soon as he figured out that the snow was chasing him down the mountain. But anyway, if you get a chance, go to our Facebook page. It's KSL Outdoors Radio. And take a look at that video along with a lot of other things we're going to talk about today. Speaking of that, we need to take a break. We'll do that. We'll check your news of the week coming up. And then on the half hour following a news update, we'll look forward to talking with Bob Grove and sort out some of these options for you if you want to get out and do some snowmobiling this year. He's come up with something that may not be on your radar. So stay right there.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim and Russ in studio with you. Yeah. And again, first chance to say Merry Christmas to everybody on the backside of it. And thanks to Joe Davis, by the way, for helping out last week and filling in.
We would have never made it.
Well, you didn't make it.
No, I didn't.
And I was on the other side of the world. So anyway, thanks to Joe for always being willing to come in here and spend part of his Saturday with us. Look over your shoulder at this video. I wanted to make our listeners aware of a couple of things that I posted on our Facebook page. We talk from time to time about the Hardware Ranch and some of the opportunities that you have this time of year where they're feeding the elk who come down from the mountains and find some safe haven there. And I've never seen videos of it, but they've got the wheeled wagon, not the sleigh, headed out through the fields feeding these beautiful big elk that come in to spend some time. And if you want a little enticement to take your family up to be a part of a very special event, take your kids and your even grown children out there to Hardware Ranch and take advantage of this time of year because it really is a life experience. So that's one thing I wanted to say. And then watch this video. This is the one we were talking about a minute ago with the avalanche, and you can see the skier coming down on the left-hand side. Now watch just over his left shoulder as he triggers an avalanche, and his buddy is standing on the other side of the valley, I guess, or on the other side hill.
That guy doesn't even know he's
not
he's
right
got
here.
Behind him,
and if I had audio, we're trying to get audio on here. If I had audio, you'd hear his brother go or his friend going, "Hey, look out!"
We'd have a lot of beeps in the audio, probably too.
Yeah, but just another example of what can happen if you don't take the necessary precautions and know before you go. Stay off of certain slopes this time of year because it is very, very dangerous out there.
Doesn't look like a real deep slide, but then from hard that to distance, judge from watching a little
from,
video.
From that distance, it's tough to tell. There are a couple of stories this week about cougar sightings that date back over the last week or 10 days that I put on our Facebook page, and the folks in Bountiful don't need to be reminded that they've had cougar sightings in their backyards. But they said warnings from the DWR still in effect after more cougar sightings, and this was as of the 22nd of the month.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Spotted again up on Brindlewood Drive in Bountiful, 4070 Brindlewood Drive.
That's up on the side of the mountain up there, I believe.
Yeah. The identified cougars are likely responsible for a dead deer found in the backyard about 3 o'clock in the morning in that area. Another deer found Saturday night that was likely hit and injured by a car, and then that was like a smorgasbord for the for the cougars. Less work, same amount of food.
Yeah.
So just a note to folks in the Bountiful area, but on the heels of that, we had another report, this time in the Cottonwood Heights area, of a bobcat, a raccoon, that were also killed by a cougar.
Sounds like
near
the beginning
Big Cottonwood
of a,
Canyon.
Beginning of a joke. You get a bobcat, a raccoon, and a cougar.
In a backyard. And here's what happens. Wildlife biologists are urging those around the Big Cottonwood Canyon foothills to be vigilant after a cougar was spotted there. They said the officer, while he was there, removed two carcasses to help prevent the cougar from coming back, because they usually, after they kill an animal, they'll bury it in some kind of a cache site and then come back and feed on it from time to time.
That's pretty amazing, though, that the bobcat couldn't get away, you know? They're pretty fast.
Yeah. Here's the advice they're giving people in the area if you see one. Stop, period. Keep eye contact. Keep kids and pets close. Stand up tall. The bigger you make yourself, the better. Don't crouch or squat. Make yourself look big. Raise and wave your arms above your head. Talk firm and loud, and then back away slowly and get out of the way. But one of the reasons people love to live in those areas is because they had wildlife in their backyard. And boy, do they ever have wildlife in their backyard. And then this note. This was off my radar, but we have a new national park.
Oh, good. Good. It deserves it, you know.
Have you been there? Area.
Yeah, I've been across there. I did not, I mean, I saw it as I went by, but actually it was our last trip to Mississippi. We took highway, I think it was 82, all the way across the whole, all the way to Texarkana.
Well, what we're talking about is White Sands Monument has been redesignated now as a national park. White Sands has become the 62nd designated national park. Donald Trump signing of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2020, which included a provision on the redesignation of the park. And one of the spokespeople that's there said our staff was very excited for White Sands to be recognized, and they're hoping that this will put it on the map of more people that may come and pay a visit. It was made a national monument all the way back in 1933 by President Hoover. To preserve the White Sands and additional features of scenic, scientific, and educational interest.
The city adjacent to that is Alamogordo.
Alamogordo,
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
So if you happen to get down that way, or maybe you've had a bucket list of checking off national parks in our country, you've got another one to add to it in White Sands. So we thought we'd pass that along. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I believe we'll be talking with Bob Grove.
All right.
And we'll talk snowmobiling in various places that may also be off your radar. So stay right there. A news update is coming up next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.